And so we're going to look at that second reading we had, Luke 4, verses 14 to 21, which is a very well-known passage, but it's full of encouragement. And I want to encourage you on this January the 7th, is it? Yes, I want to encourage you right at the beginning of this new year. And I hope you'll be encouraged by the fact that I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points. So you should be here until tomorrow morning. But don't worry, you won't be. I'm just simply breaking down the majority of that reading. And the first point is this: the Spirit of the Lord makes all the difference. I don't apologize for saying something as simple as that, and yet as profound as that. The Spirit of the Lord makes all the difference. And he can do that in your life, in my life, and in this church. And the Lord delights to do that. Christianity is essentially supernatural. If we haven't had a supernatural experience of God, then we aren't Christians, because Christianity is essentially supernatural. It means the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. Now, there are different experiences of the Holy Spirit, and we can go on deeper and have greater experiences of the Holy Spirit, yes. But if we're believing in Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so I could point at each of you by name and say, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, because I know that you are believers in Christ. And the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. And Jesus says, and he wants to show what can happen. I know he was extraordinary in one way, but he was also an ordinary human being in a very real sense. It was God incarnate in an ordinary human being. And what Jesus had laid aside, his great power that he'd had for all eternity, and used only the power that's available to us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And so what I want to encourage you to do at the beginning of this new year, and you can go on doing it as well, is to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and control you. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, or if you like, fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I really urge you to spend time just asking God. You might just wait silently as well. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. And Jesus is showing this here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he goes on to say what that will mean, what he will do in the power of the Spirit. Not as the Son of God, he laid that aside, but as an ordinary human being, and what the Holy Spirit could do. The second point is this. He spoke of good news for the poor. He's going to proclaim good news for the poor. In other words, not just for the rich and the powerful, not just for the elite, not just for the super saints, not just for the stable geniuses who are in the United States, not just for such people, but for ordinary, if you like, poor people. Maybe not poor by world standards, but poor in the sense that we're ordinary. And he's preaching good news for the poor. You see, I think one of the ways we can understand that is that the Holy Spirit is not just for me as the sort of priest here, you know, so important, and not for you because you are an also-ran. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit is for each of us equally. And so the good news is for the poor. I'm using that word poor in the sense of, you know, ordinary. The good news is for the poor, not just for the rich, powerful, important, and so on. And so I really want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, not to think that a deep experience of the Holy Spirit is only for some sort of super saints. You know, those who've been trained, those who've got the dog collars on, whatever. No, equally, the power of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us, because if you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You have a supernatural person within you. Thirdly, He spoke about freedom for prisoners. Well, we aren't literal prisoners, but I don't think Jesus was talking about literal prisoners here. Might include them, but I don't think he was including that. And we can be imprisoned, can't we? Have you noticed that? I'm so sad when I come across someone who is imprisoned, for example, by resentment. They're resenting someone. So-and-so did that to me, maybe many years ago. Terrible it was. And every time I think of them, I could hit them on the nose, you know, or whatever. How sad. That person, the offended one, I mean, is imprisoned. It is bound. Is in bondage to that person who hurt them. They're imprisoned by that resentment. Or it may be guilt. I did something. I wouldn't dare tell anybody about it because if they knew about it, they'd reject me. By the way, let me say that I would never do that, neither would Patricia. Not at all. And if ever there was something you really were having problems with over guilt, maybe a long time ago, maybe recently, then believe you me, if you want help, you would get sympathetic help from us. But sometimes people are imprisoned by guilt. They can't, oh, I know I did that. I know I did that. I know I did the other. And therefore God can't really bless me. Obviously, I'm not speaking about people who couldn't care less. You know, I did that, but so what? No. That's not relevant. But if we really are sorry for what we did, but we still feel we're imprisoned by it, then the Lord can set us free. Or it may be fear. Fear is something that can imprison people. We're absolutely imprisoned by fear. And the Lord can set us free. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He makes all the difference. Good news for the poor, ordinary people like us. Freedom for the prisoners, whatever we're imprisoned to. I just mentioned three possibilities. Then he goes on, sight for the blind, spiritual sight. You know, I like talking to non-Christians. I love yesterday morning talking to some of the people who you know, would profess to be atheists or not to believe at all. Really getting on with those people very well. Both Patricia and myself, we feel really fond of them. We really want to get to know them. Wish we could get to know their names, but that would require a brain transplant. I think maybe you can help us on that. We're terrible remembering names. But we love those people, and it's lovely talking to them. But I'm so sad that some of them can't yet see the reality of God. Please don't think I'm criticizing, not for one split second, I'm not. But sight for the blind, says Jesus, spiritual sight. Why can't people see God in creation? Creation is so wonderful, whether it's on a macro scale or a micro scale. It's so wonderful. And even the creation around here is pretty good, isn't it? Why can't people see God in creation? Why can't people see God in their own experience? That some of the coincidences that happen are actually what I would call God incidences. And why can't people, on a more solemn level, realize that ultimately they're answerable to a God? And okay, there might not be a God, but if there is one, maybe I ought to do something about it. Well, that's quite a solemn challenge, isn't it? And a lot of it is spiritual blindness. It's not wickedness. I'm not blaming them. But it's spiritual blindness. And my prayer is that God, through the Holy Spirit, will open their eyes to see God there. And then, where am I? About fifthly, I think. Freedom for the oppressed. We might be oppressed by problems. You feel you're oppressed by your problems at the moment? Well, we can identify with that. Or maybe doubts. Maybe you have doubts. And you might think, oh, if Tony only knew what doubts I'd got, you wouldn't really want me here. No. Again, we would never react like that. Faith presumes the possibility of doubt. And so we can have doubts. And we can be oppressed by those doubts and really worried about them. Or maybe we've been rejected by someone and we're oppressed by that. And the Holy Spirit can set us free. From time to time in our ministry, which is a very long ministry now, you know, I've really been tempted to be oppressed by the problems or, well, I talked about in being a prisoner, you know, imprisoned to reacting negatively towards people. But the Lord sets us free. That doesn't mean that the temptations won't come back from time to time, and we may even fall into them briefly, and we have to put it right. Yes, okay. But the Lord can set us free from these things. And so it's good news for the poor. It's not just for the special, the elite. It's for all of us. Ordinary people. The good news there. Freedom for the prisoners, whether imprisoned to guilt, fear, resentment, or whatever it may be. Add to the list. And it's sight for the blind, opening people's eyes to see God around them. How we need to pray for that. And it's freedom from the oppressed. People oppressed by problems, by doubts, by rejection, or it may be self-rejection sometimes. We actually reject ourselves, and we're oppressed by that. And then Jesus finishes off by speaking about, this is the year of the Lord's favor. And I like that, because I believe it is. I believe this is the year of the Lord's favor for St. Stephen's. I really do. And I believe God loves to work through little places and little people, if you like, the poor, so to speak. Not just through great big churches with hundreds of people, you know, but through ordinary people. I think I've told you before about a wonderful little church many years ago in Gloucestershire called Maisie Hampton. I bet you don't know where Maisie Hampton is. And it was a small country church. And God was doing a powerful work there. And I received one of the greatest blessings, I think, in my whole ministry, simply by going along, not to do anything, not to speak, but simply to join in what God was doing there in that little country church. And I believe this is the time, the year of the Lord's favor, and he wants to do remarkable things through even us, poor people, so to speak, using that word poor in the way I have done this afternoon. And I finish where I began. The way we need to facilitate it is by asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. Let's just pray now, shall we? And let's do that. You are important enough for this to happen to you. You are. He does it for the poor, so to speak. And he wants to come in and empower you, to free you from anything that's imprisoning you, to open your eyes if you need it, spiritually speaking, to free you from oppression by problems, doubts, rejection, etc. Just ask the Holy Spirit, who is already dwelling within you because you're a believer, Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Father, we ask you to fill us afresh and fill us in a new way with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will fill us individually and fill us as a fellowship, that we may be built up spiritually and numerically as well, Lord, and that we may know your gentle power amongst us like we've never known it before. Lord, do it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.